Hey, it's Jamie Edwards, and today we're going to start a new segment on this channel called How Agile Teams Grow Toxic. So in this video today, I want to help you understand the first aspect of this, which is the core values of kind of the founders of the software company. This has a huge impact on how you're going to feel on your software project and how successful or not you're going to be. One of the reasons I started this channel is because I was so frustrated in my career with going to company after company after company and seeing everybody have kind of different perspectives about what they think agile development means, and then looking at sort of how well they're delivering their software and realizing they're not really doing that much better of a job. One of the things that this caused me to do is I started thinking, what is it about one company versus another that kind of causes its tech culture to grow toxic, basically? And when I say toxic, what I mean by that is really, it's one of those terms that's overused. I mean a software company or a software team where it doesn't matter who you are, how good your intentions are, or how much you want to change things. It seems like the underlying sort of values and the way people work together just creates this environment where you really don't like your job that much. And the more I looked into this, I really realized, you know, and you've heard this from probably a lot of other people, that agile transformation is one of these terms you hear all over LinkedIn and all over the place. And a lot of people are confused. What does agile transformation really mean? And kind of at its lowest level, a lot of people think of it as, oh, you're going to bring someone in and we're going to change from waterfall to Scrum. But today I want to talk to you more about, I think the true need to transform a software company really starts at the top. It starts with the founders of the company. So I want to back up and talk a little bit about my own experiences with software companies and software products, and how the way that the founder looks at other people and the company is really going to have a huge impact on how much you can actually feel fulfilled about the project. So the first thing I want to talk about is, you know, why does somebody found a software company? Why does somebody start a software project? People will give a lot of different reasons, but there's really these main ones that I commonly see over and over again. And people don't necessarily come out and say it, but this is really the whole reason that most people start software projects. The first reason is an obvious one, money. You know, a lot of people start a software company because they work a day job and they want to be more successful and they want to make more income and maybe they want to be financially independent. And I think that's great. You know, I think no matter where you live in the world, if you decide that you want to become an entrepreneur or you have a good business idea, bring it on, you know, bring it to market. We need more innovators out there, you know. But if the sole thing that's driving you is income, it's going to change the way you hire, the way people work together at the company. And I'm going to talk as the series goes on about how that can unfold as the company grows and really create problems. If that's sort of the core reason why the software product or software company sort of was founded in the first place. The second reason a lot of people start software projects or companies, and they don't like to talk about this, but it's so obvious, is fame. You know, a lot of people start a software company, they may not even need the money. You know, I've worked for companies where everybody's just stressed out to try to get a project done, and the founder is already super rich, and this is just kind of like a fun company for him or her to try to get more money and especially more status, you know. And this is another core value that if this is the whole reason why the software company was founded, or this is sort of, you know, in the back of the founder's mind, the primary reason they're doing it, it's going to really have negative consequences on everybody else that comes to work for the company. And it's going to eventually lead to, unfortunately, kind of a toxic tech culture, no matter how good, you know, of a job of agile development or Scrum or Kanban or whatever else you want to do is in place. And the third reason why people start software projects or start software companies that I often see, and this is really the one that you hope for when you join a company or a team, is impact. Somebody decided, you know what, there is a need out in the market. There's people out there, or there's businesses out there that really need something. And I think I can offer it. I think I can offer something that'll really provide a solution. Or maybe there's a group of people struggling out there and they're not being served well, or maybe, you know, they need protection and things like that. And so as a founder, somebody decides, you know what, I'm going to make it my mission with this company I'm going to found to have an impact on this group of people or an impact on this market. Now, there can still be many problems as a company grows when impact is sort of like the core value that the founder has built their company on. But as I'm going to talk about in a moment here, it's much easier to change, you know, processes and hire new people and kind of steer the company if the focus is on impact than the other two, money and fame. So you might have seen my video I made a couple months ago about product managers. I really feel like a lot of programmers give product managers a lot of grief. And you know, it's understandable, especially depending on where the product manager came from. But you can look at the founder of a software company sort of like a product manager, depending on how they got started with it. Usually there's two sorts of founders. You've probably heard this before. There's either founders that are more business-based. So an example of this is somebody who has a really good idea for an app. They reach out to some technical people and want to start a company, but they may have never built software before. They may have never, you know, written a line of code, but they still think they have a viable business if they can get support. And the other place founders can come from is typically more of the engineering side. A great example of this is Elon Musk. You know, he's very popular, he's all over the news, but he as a founder, he's an engineering founder. So he already understands a lot of the engineering things that you and I deal with when we work on a software project. Now, does that mean automatically working for an engineering kind of based founder is going to make the company healthy? Not at all, but it does tend to make appreciating and understanding some of the challenges that the engineers deal with a little bit easier. So why is it even important to know the difference between a founder that's business-based or engineering-based? Well, what's going to happen is, and I'm going to talk about this in the next video, as the company first starts to grow and this company hires its first few employees, you know, and maybe they partner with some other vendors and things like that, the decisions they make about who to bring in and what skills they're looking for are going to be heavily biased towards how the founder feels about themselves and the company. And what I mean by this, and I can talk too about, like, I have personal experience with this when I try to start my own startups. When you get an idea for a business and you first start to get it off the ground, usually you're not going to have every single skill that you need to pull it off. You're going to need to bring some other people in. And a lot of companies are founded by somebody that wants to get credit. Remember, I was talking about status as being one of the reasons to start a software company. And those types of people, as the company grows, you know, they bring skilled people in, but they have a hard time letting go and really saying, I'm the leader of the software company, but that doesn't mean I have to decide what the software is designed to do specifically. You know, I mean, you've heard this quote from Steve Jobs, and I don't know if it's true or not. It's all over the place where he says, something to the effect of, you know, we don't hire smart people and tell them what to do. We hire them and they tell, you know, to listen to them and they tell us what to do. And, you know, this is kind of what I'm talking about. It's a nice thing around LinkedIn that people, you know, and all over like to throw around as one of those things. Everybody, you know, gives it 50,000 likes because it, you know, it sounds great on the surface. But finding out if your founder really is open to talent influencing the product is going to be one of the most important things if you're going to be successful and you're going to prevent, you know, the project or your company from becoming toxic as it grows. So how can you find that out? Well, there's a couple things you can do. One is let's say you're thinking about partnering with a founder or you're joining a software team. One of the best things you can do, I think, is to find out who are the people that are at the top of the company. Find them on Twitter. Try to do some research to find out, you know, what other software companies have they founded before, and look at the type of language that they use to talk about the companies that they've worked for before. If there's a lot of language that's like, you know, I'm going to be at this talk somewhere and you can come see me and hey, I'm going to be here and partnering with this person and I'm going to be there and giving a big speech about how we're changing the industry. That typically, now this isn't always the case, that typically is going to be a person who they're kind of seeking recognition from the company that they started. And because of that, as I get into the rest of these videos, it's going to be difficult for that person to let go when other people need to get recognition for the company to grow. On the flip side, a much healthier attitude that I see from leaders of software companies that truly are set up to hopefully grow their company in a little bit less toxic way is you'll hear them talk a lot about what other people have done for the company. You'll hear them say things like, great job, the back end team for building this new feature, or great job to the business, you know, team for finding us some new partners, or great job with our UX department. You know, we've won awards for the user interface of our product. So look at the language of the founders of the company you're about to join and try to think, did they found the company for reasons of just making a lot of money? And usually you can tell that also from things people say on social media. Did they found the company because basically they want fame, they want recognition? Or did they found the company because they have a mission, they're trying to have an impact, and you usually can tell that pretty easy by the types of communication that that founder has. Now, at a larger company you're gonna join, just looking at the founder is not gonna be enough. You're gonna need to look at, you know, maybe the board of directors, some of the people that are on it, maybe some directors, some VPs. But again, I find that the founders of the company or the CEO or sort of whoever's driving the vision of the company from the very top, however they look at their workforce and they look at the reason for the company's existence is going to have a huge impact on whether the team, the agile team or the software company as it grows, is healthy and people feel rewarded and like they're having an impact, or if they feel like, you know, it's becoming toxic and they really dislike where they're working and they dislike their job. So what kind of values do you feel like the leadership at your software company or on your software team have? Do they fall into those sort of three high-level categories I talked about? Can you think about another one that sort of doesn't fit into it? This is something that, again, I'm just looking at from observation. This is after working with many companies. So, you know, I'm not trying to say this is some new way to look at it. It's just very basic common sense. But I'm surprised how many people, you know, join a software project and they don't do the basic work to kind of look up what is the whole reason that this company was founded. You know, a perfect example of how confusing this can be is Facebook. I think a lot of software developers, especially people that go to college, they get out and they're looking for their first gig. They look at, you know, Mark Zuckerberg or other people who have sort of, you know, become very successful from a monetary standpoint as sort of what they aspire to be. And a lot of them, I think what they don't realize though, and you'll see this if you've seen any interviews with Mark Zuckerberg, is he's actually not claiming that he's some kind of really great programmer, even though he did, you know, a lot of the code to start the product initially years ago, you know, the Facebook platform. The bigger thing, and you'll hear a lot of people talk about this, is he has a lot of emotional intelligence and empathy. So as a leader of that company, even though he's an engineering sort of based leader, he knew, I can't build this whole company myself. I probably can't run it myself if I'm the sole coder. And so I have to bring in a whole bunch of people that are smarter than me if I'm going to be successful with this product and grow it. So what do you think about the leadership at your software company? What was the whole reason that they founded that company or those projects? And what is their attitude towards the need to bring new people on and listen to them versus feeling like they're sort of the expert, they want all the recognition and it's quote unquote their idea? I had a really hard time with this when I started my own couple startups that failed, because the first few people that I brought on, I had the same issue. The whole reason I was doing those projects was I wanted to make more money and I wanted recognition, and I'm not ashamed to say it. And I wanted to make an impact, but that wasn't really the main reason. And you know, so that's a big part of the reason I think both of those failed, is the first few people that I talked to about bringing in, you know, it was probably obvious by talking to me that like I wasn't really seeking people that I really wanted to help me make an impact. And man, was that a painful learning experience. I spent 2 years trying to get those startups off the ground. But sometimes it takes, you know, failing hard to really learn what it takes to be healthy and to be able to lead the right way on a software team. If you haven't already, consider subscribing. And my next video is going to be about how, when you hire people into the company, how happy they are and what types of people you're able to bring in is affected by what I just talked about, which is sort of the core value that drives the reason why your company was started in the first place. So until next time, thanks.